You're listening to the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode 96.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
What's going on? What's going on, my friends? Hey, it's great to have you in another masterclass here. And I got a buddy of mine, Corey Boatwright, who I'm going to introduce here in a second. If you guys don't know Corey, guy's been involved in so many different facets of the real estate business. You know, dude's completed over $75 million in real estate acquisitions, probably closed well over 1,000 transactions, including a 100-plus multi-family property. He's been involved in land, single-family, private investment dealings. And then, you know, over the course of the last several years, he's really built out an education company that coaches a lot of students and entrepreneurs, helping them get phenomenal results in their business. So he's also got, you know, he's a fellow podcaster. He's got a really cool podcast I want to encourage you guys to check out called Real Estate Investing Master Profits. I believe I got that right. But if not, just go ahead and search in iTunes, Corey Boatwright, and it'll come right up. And he primarily focuses on wholesaling in the greater Oklahoma City area. Does about 85 to 100 properties a year. And so one of the things that, you know, we're going to be covering in today's masterclass is the WMRP formula. And we're even going to talk about a really cool tool, software he's created, which is 100% free to help you get out of the analysis paralysis. So if you find yourself, you know, spending 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes trying to run comps on a property, this is a really cool tool that'll pretty much tell you what a property's worth, what the wholesale market value is, what repairs are needed, and then depending on what kind of profit you want to make. And it's going to give you their version of the maximum allowable offer. So I really think you're going to like the show. And then I want to encourage you, make sure that you check out the upcoming Q&A this week. And I would love it, by the way, if you could leave a review in iTunes. It really helps with the searches and with the rankings. So, you know, again, I'm here for you guys. I want to continue to bring on experts. I want to continue to deliver content and value on the Q&A episodes on Thursday. And so any suggestions, any ideas you guys have for the show, head on over to Flip Empire and click on the Ask Alex link at the top and let me know. I want to hear from you. So without further ado, Mr. Corey Boatwright. Corey Boatwright, what is up, my man?
What is going on, Alex?
Everything is good, man. It's awesome to finally have you on the show, man. I really appreciate the time, dude.
Yeah, no problem, man. I appreciate being on here.
Awesome, man. Well, hey, for the two or three people that might not know who you are, I know you've been around the game for a while. I just gave you an intro here, but why don't you give everybody kind of an overview, because you've been involved in so many different aspects of real estate investing, from multifamily to land, single family, all the different things I covered here in the intro. What does your business look like today? Because I know, you know, throughout the years, it's kind of transformed in certain directions. And so maybe if you can kind of give people just a 40,000 foot view of what your investing business looks like today.
Sure, man. So today we focus primarily on wholesaling. That is kind of the day-to-day operations. And that really, you know, pays the bills, keeps everything rocking and rolling. The multifamily is something that I'm venturing into in a big way. I'm excited about it, but I'm also learning a lot about it and spending time with mentors and getting coached on that right now, which it's a completely different animal, but than wholesaling single family houses. But we have a business here in greater OKC area. We do close to 100 wholesale transactions a year.
Awesome.
I have a company. Yeah. So we have two different kind of operations that I have a team really, we just spend a ton of time focusing on how we can get better and more qualified leads, and how we can get that phone ringing the most possible. So and be most profitable. And we've taken you know, twists and turns along the way for how that is most profitable. And today we send out over 30,000 postcards every single month. That's a little over 7,500 a week. We also do pay-per-click also do niche lists, which is the inheritance list, the probate list, the tax delinquent list, the code violation list. You know, so we do all those things as well. And it's really just, it comes down to being consistent in your business. And most folks that I talk to, and I know you do some work with investors as well, you know, there is this idea that the business doesn't work because they sent out one mailer of 1,000 pieces. Well, you have to get committed and not just make a decision. That makes a huge difference in this business. If you want to make a commitment to it, you will do extremely well and you'll crush. It's just a matter of time for you to get things lined up and things to start happening for you, because it's a math game. Real estate investing is a math game, especially wholesaling. It's a math game. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's where that's what we kind of look like today in the greater OKC area. I also do obviously deals with other folks outside of Oklahoma City. You and I've done some deals.
Yep.
You know, I've worked with other folks that are in California, Minnesota, New York, and, you know, several different states, Texas. And, you know, so that really is exciting. We have our coaching business and we teach our students really to follow WMRP, which I believe you wanted to talk about today.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's kind of a perfect segue, because that's, folks, that's actually the focus of this particular masterclass with Corey. Is he's gotten, you know, very well known for this WMRP formula that he's come up with. And to be honest, I've heard about it, but I don't even know what the acronym stands for. So I'm kind of excited for us to jump into it. So yeah, man, I mean, let's get into it, because I know, like you mentioned, you're coaching a lot of students there, you know, they've experienced success. And so I want to hear what this WMRP formula is all about.
Absolutely. So you've heard of the, you know, the concept for ARV, you know, after repair value, basically coming up with, you know, what a property's worth after it's all fixed up, right? In retail. So I saw all of these different, you know, MAO, which is maximum allowable offer, you know, all of these different kind of formulas that have been pieced together along the way. And some of them work really, really well. And some of them, you know, they're kind of off a little bit. And what I found was there's kind of a consistency to where we went back and looked at all of our offers and how much money that we paid on these deals, okay, according to or versus how much money these houses are worth. Mm-hmm. So WMRP, it's a formula that I'm going to explain here, but basically it runs along the same kind of model as MAO and ARV and these other ones, but it has a few little twists. So the first letter W stands for worth. So essentially that's just like your ARV, like how you we've always thought about, you know, what's a property worth in retail value, right? So that's what the W is. It's worth. And obviously you can come up with a couple different ways on determining that. I probably heard of taking the top three highest comps, the top three lowest comps, and then making the average of those, correct?
Yep.
Right. So similar with the worth, right? Having the same concept for the worth is really what's that property worth at maximum value, right? So that really doesn't change. It's just the way of thinking about it as we roll on down here to the next letter, M, is market. Now, this is really interesting, because in our state, okay, someone will look at a property, and typically the guys that, or, you know, the folks that buy our property deals, our wholesale deals, they are, when they're purchasing our contracts, they are looking at what a bank will loan them, okay, typically on a deal. So you take a $100,000 deal, right, let's call that our worth. And then you look at the M, which is the market. And what I consider the market, Alex, is the bankable market for your area, which is interesting, because that's also right around the same percentage as the wholesale market in your area. Does that make sense?
It does. Yep. I got it.
So in our area, that number is anywhere from 70 to 80%. We usually look at a number between 72 and 75%. So if I have $100,000 worth on a property and I know that the market, what a bank will lend on this property is around 70 to 80%. Well, now what I need to be considered of is what we call the R, which is repairs. And repairs is interesting because sometimes, I mean, obviously, if you're doing any kind of investing that's virtual, right, where you're not in your same state, you can't actually go to the house, look at it, you know, if you're not a contractor, then you have to have some kind of formula to use or some kind of metric to use for coming up with your repair number. So what we do is we look at a dollar per square foot times, you know, look according to three different categories of a property. Okay. One is it's a scary property, if it's a ugly property or if it's a pretty. So a pretty, ugly or a scary property, right?
Yep. We do the same exact thing.
Right. Same exact thing. So if for us here in greater OKC, that number is going to be anywhere from on the pretty side, $10 to $12 a square foot, to on the ugly side, $12 to $15 a square foot, to on the scary, from $15 to $20 a square foot.
Brother, okay, we are in the exact same range. We do it 10, 15, and 20 here in South Florida. So
there you go, 10, 15, and 20. So yeah, so we're right in that same same ballpark, right? So if we're looking at $100,000 property, right, and then we know that that's what the worth is, and then we look at our market, right, which is our wholesale market, our bankable wholesale market. So that's between, you know, 70 and 80%. Let's just call this a $75,000 market. Then if you say that this property is 1,000 square feet and it is an ugly house, right, we would use right around that $15 per square foot number. So that would be $15,000 that we would use as a ballpark figure to be able to get into the door for a further conversation with the homeowner. So now we're at 75. Now we're down to $60,000. So the next part of this formula is the P, which is profit. And we do our very best to build in $10,000 worth of profit into every deal. Okay. So if we were to build in $10,000 on this deal based on this formula, we would take that 10,000 off of the 60, right? And now we're down to 50 grand, right?
Yep.
So we know that if we got that property under contract for 50 grand, we're going to make $10,000. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah.
So we kind of reverse that a little bit, and you can play around with the numbers. For example, we don't typically tell the investor or the rehabber what the dollar amount per square foot is or anything like that. We let them tell us, right? Because sometimes we might think, wow, that's a ugly house, and they may think it's a pretty house.
That's so
or
true.
We may think it's a scary house, and they may think it's an ugly house. So what we do is we start out on our marketing. When we're marketing our deals, we're going to market somewhere between that 70 and 80 cents on the dollar number. And typically, it's going to start right in, I mean, about 90% of our deals were starting between 72 and 75%. So we're constantly, you know, we're constantly kind of crunching the numbers to get what our dollar amount versus the quote the worth is. But right now we average right now somewhere between 44 and 48% of that worth number.
Okay.
So I don't know where if that's kind of in line with what you guys are seeing in Florida.
Yeah, brother. Even though we're in a completely different market, those numbers stack up to what we're seeing as well. And I think one of the things I love about, you know, the formula here is that it's all based off of data. You know, you started this whole thing by saying we've looked at all the deals that we've closed and we figured out, you know, what was our contract price relative to what this property was worth? And so that's the power of having that kind of data, you know. And for anybody out there that's thinking, well, I'm just getting started. I haven't closed any deals, or maybe I just haven't closed hundreds or thousands of deals like you guys. That's why you're on this podcast. It's listening to people who have. And so, yeah, while your numbers may be, you know, your market might be between 70 and 75%, others might be lower. You kind of just adjust from there by connecting with some of the players in the area and figuring out what are the numbers in your market. But yeah, to answer your question, Corey, we're pretty much in line. I mean, we're not too far off in terms of what the numbers are.
Okay. So in one way that we've kind of put together a little, really like a very fast way just to get an idea from what your number is on your wholesale offer, right? Or some people again call it your maximum allowable offer, your MAO. What we've put together is we've got a software that we've been working on for a while. It's called House Price Robot.
I saw you posted it on Facebook a while back, right?
Yeah. So we passed 1,000 users about 2 months ago. And so it's continuing to roll. It's a completely free service. We're going to do everything we can to keep it free. It's getting expensive to maintain, but we're doing everything we can to keep it free. Your listeners can go to houseprice.robot.com and create a free account. They get one or two free searches before it asks them to actually just create an account. But I want to check on something real quick. So, Alex, give me just an address off your head of something I can check to just to maybe someone is on the computer right now listening, and I want them to check out what this really WMRP form is all about in your area if I just used one of your test addresses.
Cool, man. I'll actually give you an address that the deal that I know you've never seen the house. You have never spoken to the buyer or seller, but the closing that you and I just did from a lead that came in a couple of years ago when we were kind of partnering on some marketing. Let me give you that address.
Cool.
10040.
10040.
Southwest, again, SW.
Southwest.
46th Street.
46th Street.
Miami, 33165.
All right, let me see if this will pull up here. Okay.
So while this is coming up, Corey, here, you know, for those listening in, walk us through kind of, you know, what you and the developers. So this is pulling information from the public records.
Right. So what we did is we created kind of the Trivago of house price values. So there's a lot of services out there that give you a free value, like Zillow or Redfin or, you know, Property Sharp. But you have to go to all these different services to be able to kind of compare what their numbers are. So what we did is we wanted to create a way where people can go to one location and they could essentially, you know, very similar to Priceline or Trivago, they type in the address and then it would pull up the information from Realtor.com, from PropertyShark.com, from Zillow.com, from Redfin, from HomeSnap. Nice. And then we average all of these numbers together. Okay. And then when we average all these numbers together, we come up with what we call our house price robot value. So based on that address, the 10040 Southwest 46 South or Street, Miami, Florida, 33165. Okay, mm-hmm. Based on that address, the values that pulled up here for the house price robot value is $345,000 essentially.
That's pretty much right on point.
That right on point. So
yeah,
that is giving me three different values: one from Realtor being 337, one from Zillow being 369, and one from HomeSnap being 320. So I can uncheck some of these if I wanted to. Let's say that one of these was really far off, like $100,000 off, you know, than the other one. I can just uncheck it, so it would change the number. I also we're also working with Rent-O-Meter on their value technology, and Rent-O-Meter average there in that area is $2,374 for rent in mm-hmm. that area. Is that accurate as well?
That's right on point. Pretty much between 21 and 2400. So yeah.
Okay. So this is 1720 square feet, three bed, two bath, correct?
Yep. That's right.
All right. Perfect. All right. So if I go in and click on this little button at the top called WMRP calculator, and what I'm doing is I see the worth, which is after repair value. I see my market, which is a bank lending value, and it says this here. I can change my little drop down from dollar amount to percentage. So right now at 70%, my bankable value is 239,798. So essentially, let's call it 240,000. Mm-hmm. That's what you know, what the lending would be on that property. Now, if I changed it to, let's say, percentage to 75%, okay, and I hit calculate, what's going to do? It's going to give me a whole new calculation on the bottom here. So if I change that to 75% and my repairs, I'm looking at a $12.50 repair number. What dollar per square foot did you use on repairs?
On that one, that property was probably a medium rehab. So I think we went $15 a square foot.
Okay. I'm going to change it to $15 a square foot because that's $12.50. And what that's telling me at $15 a square foot is, that's $25,800 in repairs. Sound about right?
That's about right, yeah.
Okay, and if I put a $10,000, which is just a minimum, again, just a minimum of $10,000 profit, it tells me that I need to make an offer of $221,000, mm-hmm. which is a 64% percentage of the actual worth. So that's a 64%. So if I wanted to change and I wanted to make, let's say, $25,000, or actually let's say I wanted to make $30,000, because I know the splits out there are higher. So I can go here and I hit calculate. I need to make an offer at $201,127, which gives me a 58% value of the worth. Is that pretty in line?
Yeah, no, man. It's kind of funny because people might not believe this, but you didn't know what address I was going to give you, and it's within a couple thousand dollars. So yeah, we're not only in the same ballpark, we're pretty much right on point.
Right, man. So I mean, that's the power of and be able to use this little calculator and this little formula, and you can just quickly change things. Though I really like that you can just kind of play with things really quickly on there, just to give you an idea. We're still working on getting, all the addresses. There are, there's thousands and thousands of addresses. And so there's a lot that goes into Northwest, Southwest, dots or periods after it, or all these different formats. Our team's pretty good. So we're getting it worked out here, but that's pretty interesting that, that just on based on what you gave me there, that we're only a couple thousand dollars apart from what you actually took that deal down for.
Yeah, man. Yeah, exactly. And I want to kind of piggyback on something that you said. I don't even know if you realize you said it, but you said something about what if, instead of wanting to make $10,000, we wanted to make 15 or 20 or 30. And that's actually one of the things that at the beginning of 2016, so close to a year and a half ago, our average profit per transaction was about 12 to 13 grand. And I challenged my team. I said, this year I want to make at least 20 grand on every deal. Now, you and I both know right. that, that's not going to be possible to necessarily always make that on every deal, but it's interesting. The power of focus. And there's that saying, what you focus on expands. Well, by the end of 2016, our average profit per transaction was a hair under $20,000. So I want to challenge you, awesome. if you're in a market, like a small market in the Midwest, and you're, I was working with a coaching student that she's out in Memphis, and she was saying, we're only making about $5,000-$7,000 a deal. That was one of the first things we talked about is I said, I want to challenge you to expect to make at least 10, at least 12, close to double what you're making now. And just by focusing on that, especially if you focus on the hot areas and you get a little bit of aggressive on your wholesale pricing, it's incredible how much more you're going to make just by like baking it into your numbers that, okay, if your minimum is 5 or 10, push yourself to say, okay, well, you know what? I want to make at least $3,000-$10,000 more than what I'm used to making. And it's Corey, it's amazing that when you focus on something, it just kind of tends to fall in line with what you want.
That's crazy, man. That's awesome. And congrats on doing that. Also, I think it's a testament to you, also getting the team on board and having everybody else keep totally. Their focus on raising up those numbers too.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So a lot of times we want it to happen, but we don't share it. We don't teach it. So yeah, that's great. We also continue to raise the mark with our dollar on average for profit. There's many other wholesaling companies that don't get close to what we are able to achieve here. So it's it's exciting to be able to get these numbers in a place where you are working these deals and it's maximizing not only the profits, but it's also, you know, makes sense, right? Based on how you're doing your research and, you know, how you're positioning new conversations and how ultimately your strategies, what you're implementing and executing on your strategies and coming back using data points to be able to tweak it.
Bingo, bingo. And I think what I like about what you've put together here, man, is that I see so many people get hung up on some of the details of like just analysis paralysis. What do I offer? What's the ARB? I mean, you know, I've spoken to people that spend 10 to 20 minutes of property just trying to figure out what it's worth. And it's like, you don't need to do all that. Like just initially, like it so much time is spent on the front end when it's like you said, it's a numbers game and we need to rifle through a bunch of these leads, and you can't be spending 10, 20 minutes per deal or per lead, I should say, analyzing, trying to figure out what it's worth. Like, use a simple tool like this that will pretty much do it for you. And you don't have to be perfect. You just kind of have to be in the ballpark. And then once you get in front of the seller and once you figure out what their motivation, what their why is, then you can kind of start to work the conversation and start to get into like creating, you know, a situation that works for both parties. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. You know, another great point I think to make on this is whenever we're dealing with motivated sellers, right, there's always two things that they have in common. One is they have distress of some sort, right? They need to sell because they're going through a divorce. They need to sell because they want to move. They're going through a bankruptcy or getting close to a bankruptcy or pre-foreclosure. There's all these different, there's a reason why that they contacted you today. Mm-hmm. And then they also have a time, an urgency to when they need to do it, right? So a great question to, after you let them speak and you listen to their situation and you listen to what their pain is and what they really want to accomplish. And we think it's just to make get the most amount of money for their property. And that is a byproduct of what they really want. What they really want is to move quickly. What they really want is not having a foreclosure on their credit. What they really want is to buy a boat. What they really want is to buy another house, another car. I mean, there's all these different things that they really, really want. And maybe they inherited it and they just don't want the mess anymore. Here's the other thing. Sometimes they just want peace of mind.
So true.
So we don't put a value to some of the things because we're not in their shoes. Mm-hmm. But if we start to consider what that is like in their shoes, then we are forced to listen. So once you listen, then you want to ask the opposite. Okay. So Alex, thanks for having me over here. It's a great property. You're telling me that you need to get rid of the property, you know, and I'm here to offer an option and a solution that makes sense for us. Let me ask you a question, though. What's going to happen if you don't get rid of it?
I love it. I love it. Yep.
And what will happen, right, is you'll let them basically sell you. They'll tell you of all the reasons that they have to do business today.
That's right.
So that's what you have to be listening for is I want you to tell me how we must do business today. Instead of you going in and saying, here's how we're going to do business today. There's four personality types, right? We name them by different animals, right? And one of the personality types is the owl, right? The owl is very analytical. And they're always like, they want you to go down every little piece of the contract. They want to ask you very specifics. It's not 53,000. It's 53,323.93. I mean, it is very specific, right? And then the monkey is the funny person. Everything's a joke. They're smiling a lot. They're usually loud. And they get a little weird if you start talking too many specifics and all this stuff. They're very generic.
Yeah.
Right. And then you've got the shark, right? And the shark is like a Donald Trump, right? They're an aggressor. They're going to shake your hand either like a dead fish or very, very strong. They're going to lead the conversation. And you want to play dumb with the shark as much as you can. You want to let them feel like they're controlling the conversation. However, you need to be asking the poignant questions to get the answers you're looking for. The shark wants to rule the conversation. You want to let them do that, right? And then the koala, The koala is the one that's exception to this rule, right? Instead of you going in and you letting them sell you the koala personality, you need to run the show. They want firmness. They basically will just do what you tell them to do. They usually come to the door in a nightgown or something. I mean, they're very like, or hippie clothes, right? They're very just passive, and they need to be led. So all of these different personality types obviously factor into what we're talking about here on these negotiations. Mm-hmm. But by and large, you want to let someone sell you. What's going to happen today, Alex, if you can't get rid of this property? What are you going to do then? Well, I'm either going to list it or I'm going to move in with my brother, or I don't know what I'm going to do. I have to get rid of it. Sometimes they won't even tell you because it's just such pressing. I have to get rid of it. If you aren't going to do it today, I'll find some. They have to get rid of it, right? So once you have them basically in that manner, when they're telling you some things, then you have a lot more positioning power to be able to steer them, right, in a direction where it's going to make sense for both of you to do business today. So, you know, I think that that's pretty important on how, you know, you're positioning yourself whenever you're talking with the motivated seller.
Yeah, no, it's so powerful what you said, because I can't imagine there's so many deals lost because, number one, people are so in their head about what they're going to say or how they're going to do something that they're not actively listening to the seller. And it's just, I love the way that you positioned it, where they have to sell you on why you should buy the property. And I think a lot of investors, particularly newbies or people that are getting started or don't have a lot of experiences, they kind of adopt the mentality and the approach of the motivated seller, that they're so motivated to get the deal that they just kind of puke all over themselves when they're talking, and they're not able to get the deal. I mean, the sellers can kind of smell it. You know what I mean?
Right. Absolutely. They can smell fear.
Yeah.
They can smell fear. They can smell whenever you're not confident. And, you know, those are factors, you know, that really come into play massively whenever you're looking at, you know, the best opportunity to walk away with the contract. Whenever you're at that property, you want to think, you know, I'm not leaving until I get a contract or I get a firm reason why I cannot get a contract today. Otherwise, I mean, you want to go in with the full expectancy that you're there to provide the best solution for them right now. They called you today. They're there. You told them that you're there to do business today. You want to make this thing go away as soon as possible, and let's do business, right? And that's the positioning for how you're setting it up. However, you want to be able to provide a solution to the pain, not necessarily just there to do a transaction. So that's you have to listen, and listening requires active listening, right? Active listening is, okay, Alex, what I hear you telling me is you need to get rid of this property by June 5th. And if you don't, you're going to have a list pendants filed. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, you pitch it back to them.
Yeah, you listen in, and they will tell you yes. And sometimes it's funny. Sometimes they'll say no. Well, no, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that it's possible they could do that. They didn't tell me they're going. So what you want to do is whenever you're listening and you're doing active listening, people respond to you differently. They warm up to you a little differently. It shows that you do care about that situation at that time. Mm-hmm. And you're tuned in and take it. I mean, nobody listens to anybody anymore, right? Your kids don't listen to you. Your spouse doesn't listen to you. Your friends don't listen to you. I mean, you don't even listen to yourself anymore, right? There's so many different things to take our.
Yeah. There's so much noise out there.
So much noise, right? So when someone actually sits down and says, let me understand this correctly, because I know this is a big deal and I want to get it taken care of. I want to provide a solution, you know, today. And I always reference today. I also reference today, 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 because I want that to go in their minds. If we walk away, right, then there is a potential that, you know, we may not do business, and that could hurt them. That's not, not going to hurt you as the investor, right? It could hurt them because they're losing an opportunity to do business with you today. You're there. You're interested in purchasing a property at a discounted price based on repairs, based on whatever, right? And you're not going to live in the property. Mm-hmm. They know that. They also know you're doing business. They also know that, you know, you're going to have some profit worked in. You're not going to live there, right? You have a family. You got things you got to take care of. People are human, you know, and the more that you relate and you find something immediately to relate with them, something to connect with them on, whether that's, you know, some story that they tell you, some place that they visited, something that they're feeling. And when they start talking about their feelings, especially guys, okay, it's really difficult typically for a lot of guys to talk about their feelings. So when guys start talking about stuff that's heavy, you know, you don't want to say much, man. You just want to be silent and nod your head and just say, man, I feel yeah. you. Man, yeah. I can't even imagine what that is going through right now. I know you have kids, you're telling me. I see the pictures on the wall. I mean, I can't imagine how Susie's feeling right now, that she's going to have to move away from school potentially with her friends. I mean, I can't imagine how your wife's feeling right now with the stress of the bills. Uh-huh. I really want to do everything I can to provide a solution for you today. Obviously, you know, I'm not going to live in the property, Alex. I'm going to find another investor that wants this property, their portfolio, or we're finding another a solution for it. So based on that and the repairs that you showed me already, the roof, the AC, the things that needs repair, I'm going to definitely find a way we can do business today. And I want to make sure that I do everything we can today in order to provide that solution for you. Does that sound good? Absolutely, right?
Yeah.
So you want to just build in this confidence that you're there as a solution provider and that you want to help them. They're not necessarily helping you. You're there to help them and provide a beacon of light for them. And now otherwise, as a personality for the shark wants to feel like they're in control. Okay. So maybe with the shark, you would say, man, Alex, I mean, you're at 59 and I'm at 54. I mean, we're $5,000 apart. You know, I you told me, you called me, you wanted me to come out here today, you know, at Tuesday at 2:30, right? My kid's going to get out of school at 3:30 or what? And I'm here today to find a deal to work with you. Man, you drive a hard bargain. I mean, can you give me some leniency? Can we meet in the middle? I mean, can we? And then no. I'm at 59. I might be able to do 58. You want to let the shark rule that conversation, and let them feel like you won. I mean, they won, not you won. And from there, as long as they feel like they're in control of the conversation, the more that you tell the shark that they're such a such a smart person, they're hard driving a hard bargain, more you cater to their ego, the shark loves that. So just remember that the more you cater to the shark's ego, the more willing that they are to work with you. Mm-hmm. So that's a little
point. Corey, let me ask you, man, if you don't mind here, because we're gonna, before we kind of put a bow on the podcast here, just sure. a few rapid fire questions for you, since we started kind of getting a little bit into personality types and we don't need to spend a lot of time on this. Do you have any quick tips for people listening in as to how, particularly if they're on the phone processing the leads, or if they have an acquisitions manager or a lead manager, any quick tips to identify somebody's personality type when they're speaking to them? This is obviously, they haven't met them, they haven't been to the property yet, but for those people on the phone pounding, you know, outbound calling is something our team has been doing a lot of the last couple of months. We've been seeing great results. And so, you know, do you have any tips to kind of peg people into one of these four personality types just initially with the conversation that they're having, like any telltale signs that they can kind of look after?
Sure. So there's a great book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, right? And there is some strategies in there of mirror and matching, right? Mirror and modeling. And so you can do that on the phone as well. Once you match the rate of speech, you can also kind of hear when someone is talking louder or softer. So to answer the question directly, if it's a shark, right, they're going to be loud typically. They're going to be pretty bold. They're going to be short and to the point. Mm-hmm. They are not going to like a lot of words, right? You need to be to the point, maybe one or two answers. and get that appointment set as soon as possible. Let them feel like they're in control. Ask them a question that they will guide you and feel like they are the instructor. They are the almighty teacher. Mm-hmm. So they're going to speak, you know, loud, and they're going to ask, they're going to be a directive, right? It's going to feel like you're talking to someone that has a little superior, like almost like a president or someone that of a company or someone that's in leadership. You're going to feel that aggressiveness on the phone. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a shark. On the koala is going to be very passive. They're probably going to talk a whole lot. They're going to be soft. Their voice is going to be really soft. Okay, you know, that sounds good. And so they don't want to interject much of their own thought process. They're just used to being led. Just lead me, lead me, lead me. You're the expert, lead me. So with the koala, you've got to understand that they're cuddly. They're all cuddly. They're a koala. They're soft. They're passive. And so they don't like it when you're aggressive. They can't stand sharks. They freak out over sharks. They just want to be led, and they want you to be professional. Uh-huh. So you always should be professional, but you should really think about how you're leading when you have a koala on the phone. And that'll be like a soft voice passive. So a monkey, man, they're funny. They're cutting jokes, Alex. I mean, they are like, man, you know what I'm talking about, man. I mean, they're using slang and vocabulary. Feel like a buddy,
yeah.
Right? You feel like a buddy. Man, you know what I'm saying, man? Come on out here, man. Come on, man. And they'll have like jokes and they'll have like real loose with you, right? So the monkey, you want to laugh. You want to like, you know, if you're not laughing, the monkey feels insecure. So you've got to laugh. You've got to laugh the jokes, man. You got this, man. You're so funny. You got to cater to them. They love that. They don't want you to talk specific. They don't want this, man. Maybe give me between 50 and 60. I mean, they don't talk about specifics. They're just really lapsadaisical and just fun on the phone. And then the owl. So the owl is going to let me get this straight, Alex. You are going to come out to my property. You're going to look at repairs. You're going to look at AC. Are you going to look at the map? Are you going to look? I mean, they're going to ask you every question you can imagine. You're going to feel like you might be talking to an accountant, a CPA attorney, a little bit. The attorney and the owl and the shark, you know, you'll find a lot of times you'll have like a 70-30 on that, maybe more shark, more owl. But you'll notice they'll ask a lot of questions. They'll be very specific. Let me ask who you are. What's your company with? Are you with the Better Business Bureau? They'll ask a lot of questions like that. The owl will also be very specific on the contract. You better go down every single line item with the owl. Personality when you have them sign an agreement, because that makes them feel secure. They mm-hmm. they want to make sure they understand every little part of it. And once you explain that to them, they feel like, okay, I can trust you, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what it comes down to, is finding some of those relatable triggers, if you will, personality triggers and vocal triggers, and understanding that type of person. And then from there, you understand what's best that's going to work with your negotiation style.
Yeah, I love it, dude. I love it. This kind of stuff, man, I love this type of stuff. I mean, I love reading books and talking to people about this kind of content. So appreciate you sharing that, because I hope that it's resonating with anybody listening in, how powerful, once you know the personality type you're dealing with and how you can kind of mirror and match them, how you can cater and frame the conversation, it could be the difference between you getting the deal and not getting the deal. So I appreciate you sharing that, man. Last one for you. Before I let you kind of let people know where they can reach out to you, find out more about what you have going on. I know you have a lot of products and services and things like that. As far as marketing is concerned, and this can be rapid fire on your end, what are some things? I know you're doing direct mail, you're doing, you know, PPC, some other things. What's working for you from a marketing perspective in your market in Oklahoma, specifically for motivated sellers?
Sure. So, you know, the very most profitable deals that we get are probate deals and inheritance deals.
Okay.
Right. So one of the keys that most folks are not doing is they're not making relationships with probate attorneys. So essentially what you can do is you can just get in the yellowpages.com now. I wouldn't be the actual yellow page. Get on yellowpages.com. You can have a virtual assistant literally go through and find as many probate attorneys as you possibly can. Now, for us, we go to oscn.net, which is our kind of our state county a site where we can see code violations, we can see probate cases. You can actually go into those cases and you will find that the attorney's information, their full contact information, is actually listed. Now, depending on where someone is and what state they're in, Alex, I don't know if you can do that in Florida with the Sunrise. I think there's a couple of counties there that will list it, but you can find that information right there readily available. And then you want to build a relationship with those attorneys. Mm-hmm. And because they're going to get many, many properties, that they can come to you and you are a solution provider for them.
Yep.
To be able to liquidate those properties. The key thing when you're talking to these attorneys is that you have funds readily available to close at a moment's notice on a property that they bring you that needs to be liquidated.
Yep.
That's a very, very key. They want to know that you have the funds readily available to close as long as title is marketable and everything's ready to go and on a liquidation for a property. Those are key things.
I love it, buddy. I love it. Well, hey, brother, I appreciate the time, man. I know you have a lot of things going on. Where can people connect with you, reach out to you, and just kind of find out more about some of the things that you have going on and some of the things that you offer?
Sure, man. So where they can go is they can go to WMRPformula.com, WMRPformula.com. That is a video series I put together that just kind of explains this WMRP a little bit further. It also debunks some myths about what people think on flipping houses versus wholesaling. Mm-hmm. And, so there's some things there. And I go through a couple other tips on those videos. So they can go there. If they want to just connect with me, get on Facebook and just go to facebook.com/ Corey Boatwright, no E and no W, CORIGHT, and come over there and say hi.
Awesome, my man. Awesome. Well, hey, buddy, again, I appreciate you coming on, man. It's awesome to have you come on the show and just drop some knowledge, man. And yeah, man, I know, again, we just closed that deal. Hopefully we can close a few more coming up here. So
that'd be great, man.
Awesome, buddy. Awesome. Well, let me know if you need anything, man. And I know we'll be in contact. All right.
Sounds good. Thanks, Alex. Appreciate it.
Take care, buddy.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.